Okay, so hang on, everyone. I think Sam Gaughan is trying to reconnect. Again, we are live on YouTube, but we haven't started the meeting yet.
There we go. I think I'm on. Can you guys hear me?
Okay. Yes. Is this other Sam you, Sam? There's another Sam here. Is that you? I'm going to put this Sam back in the waiting. Oh, maybe that's Sam Lemo. That's Sam Lemo.
Yeah, I think it's Sam Lemo.
Okay. Let's see. We are, Member Oi is not here today. But so are we still missing someone? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I think we can start. So Darlene, if you're ready, we can start. I think she is.
We're ready.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining. This is the July 24, 2020 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Thank you for being with us today. We are having the meeting on Zoom due to the COVID-19 restrictions that we are currently experiencing. The meeting is being live streamed on YouTube for the public. We have received written testimony on items, and persons who wanted to provide live oral testimony signed up in advance. So we will be calling those people at the appropriate time. At this point, I would like to ask Dr. Gaughan to read our standard contested case statement.
Thank you, Chair. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It is up to you. Any request must be made in writing within 10 days. If no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision, the department will treat the decision as final, and proceed accordingly.
Thank you. One point is that due to the approaching storm, we will need to take a break from 11:15 to 12:15 so that we can do, I can do a little planning, and we will be moving the agenda around a little bit, but we will start out by doing the agenda in order. Here we go. Okay, I'm gonna just pause because Member Char is trying to get in here.
Hey, Russell.
Yes.
You got a nice earring on your ear.
I got to wear them every day when I go to a convention center. I help with the labor claim.
It would look better if you shaved your head, I think.
We're still live on YouTube, and we're trying to connect member Char and making sure member Ewan is audible. So, Chris, can you speak?
Woof.
Chris, can you hear us? Chris Ewan? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so Chris cannot hear us, I guess. Chris, can you hear now? Chris, can you hear the meeting? No. Okay, wait. Okay, Chris, can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear you. And
Sam, can you say something, or Jimmy, can you say something?
Chris, good morning.
Oh, wait.
Morning, Chris. Chris.
Morning, Jimmy. I think I'll have to make do like this for now.
Okay. Okay, so now we're still just trying to get member Char in.
You're going to have a lady to do sign language for you.
Okay, if you guys could just wait, I'm just double checking on member Char.
I sent Vernon the updated link that Darlene sent us earlier this morning and told him that he would have to use the passcode as well.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Sam. that passcode, I had to use it 3 times before I could connect.
Yeah, I had trouble too. I'm going to blame Hurricane Douglas for all of this.
Of course. I think you could blame COVID, I think.
I did that too.
Yes, just take a microphone.
I can hear you on the cell phone, Chris. And I think everybody can hear you.
I just heard Chris.
Chris, we cannot hear that.
Okay. I was just testing my computer. It's still not working. The connection is for some reason not working on the
okay.
The phone or the
we're just again waiting for member Char to be able to log in. Okay.
Suzanne, we have 2 Chris Ewens on the, you know, with all the photos.
I think one of them makes his phone.
Yeah, okay, Chris, you're, when I asked to unmute, you don't see it because you're on your iPhone.
Just a second. Yeah, okay, now I'm good. Suzanne, we can hang up on the cell phone.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm
the other one I
assume. Now I'm all here.
Good. The other one I assume is your computer, the other Chris Ewan here. And we're just again waiting for. Do you want me to log you off on your, wait, I can't do that. You want to log off on your, oh, you probably want to watch everybody. Okay, we're good on Chris. And so.
Oh boy, but I'm. Hi.
We're still live. Can you hear us? You can't hear us, Chris? You can't hear us? Can you hear us? Chris, can you hear us?
Testing, testing, 1, 2, Chris.
My watch has stopped.
Can you guys hear me now?
Now yeah. We can.
Okay, good. Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have Vernon yet?
Oh, we don't, but I tell you what, why don't we go ahead?
You have quorum.
We have quorum. So we'll go ahead and he can join us when he can. All right, first item up is A1, the minutes from the May 22, 2020 meeting. Board members, just to remind you, we had this on the agenda for the last meeting, but the meeting date was wrong by 2 days, and in an abundance of caution, we deferred it. So do you have any comments to these minutes? And if not, somebody want to make a motion to approve the May 22, 2020 minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. 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 Okay, that is unanimous with Gomes, Case, Gon, Yoon, and Yuen. All right, first up then is item D1.
Morning, board members. Russell Tucci for Land Division. D1 is a sale of a remnant abandoned ditch on Kauai. The portions of the ditch has already been offered to the neighboring properties, and so this is getting rid of this particular parcel. I don't have anything to add on this
one. Hey, board members, do you have any questions on this?
Seems pretty straightforward to me.
Okay, I believe we have no testimony on it. Actually, we have no testimony on it. Somebody want to make a motion to approve as submitted?
Move to approve as submitted, per staff decision.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimous with those five members voting. Item D2, Russell?
D2 is the consent to assign a sublease for this roof sublease, as if you want to call it, for solar panels on the Hilo and Naniloa. It looks like the entity is switching, but the operator or manager of the entity is still going to remain the same. This is part of a renewable energy project up in Hilo and Naniloa. I believe with Mr. Bouchard.
Hey, board members, do you have any questions on this one? Okay, hearing, just checking if there's any testimony on this.
If we don't have any public testimony, I'll move.
And I second.
Okay, 1 second. No testimony. All right. All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, those aye. Five approve. Thank you. All right, we're going to move to item D3. We have some people joining for this one, so give us a second to let those people in. I have to just double check. I thought I just heard a cookie. Okay, I am only seeing this one person in the waiting room. Let me just double check.
Are those Cookie in your yard, Chris? Well, I wonder if he can hear us. I think maybe he's audio offline again.
Did you see Bernie got on, but he's muted?
Yeah.
Hey, oh, Chris. Yeah, they should be able.
Okay.
I hear you guys.
Okay. Good thing I didn't say anything bad then.
Yeah, it's...
You're muted.
I was reading your lips.
Oh.
Okay.
It's kind of quiet, but...
Yeah,
you're waiting for one person who had signed up to testify who are just making sure has the meeting code.
Do you want to use your phones?
This is Cynthia Day, and I have Tracy Hayward here with me on our computer because we were having an issue. So if you're waiting for her, she's here.
Okay. We're also waiting for Irish O'Hara.
Well, Uncle Irish.
Russell, why don't we do D4 and 5 while we're waiting?
Where'd you get that?
Okay. Somebody needs to turn off their YouTube.
Okay, let's all.
You're unmuted, so they can hear you talking.
Still too loud.
Brandon, we can hear you.
Oh, but now he's muted again.
So are we going to move to D4 and D5?
Okay, shall I do it now? D4 is a request to amend a governor's executive order, amending it to revise the Mackay boundary of Parcel B to the seaward edge of the breakwater. This is in the Waimea Coast area. That way the county would be managing that area. I don't have anything to add on this minute.
Okay, questions, board members, on D4? There's no public testimony on D4. Okay, somebody want to make a motion to approve D4?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's unanimous. I just want to note that right now we have 6 board members. So when I say unanimous, it's everyone except Member Oi, who couldn't join us today. Okay.
And D5 is a grant of perpetual non-exclusive easement for water meter purposes to the city and county of Honolulu Board of Water Supply. This is to service the Halawa Stadium area.
Okay, questions, board members?
If there's no testimony, I'll move to approve.
All right.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. Let me just see where we are. And all right, we're still going to move on. So let me see if we can just do a couple of the state parks items and come back to this one.
Yeah, I saw him for a moment, then he ran off.
Is that the cookie?
Can you guys hear me?
If you are in the meeting, please make sure you have signed off on YouTube.
Okay, I'm having some tech difficulties with the video.
Okay, Kurt, if you're available to go ahead, why don't you go ahead with item E1.
Certainly. Yes, I apologize. Something's wrong with the video feed, so you can only...
You know what, Kurt? I turned it off because you weren't ready. So there you go. Try to turn it back on now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, good morning, board members. Kurt Cottrell, administrator for the Division of State Parks. And I have with me Alan Carpenter, our assistant administrator, San Kim, our property manager, to go over both items E1 and E2. And we have a change for E3. So in regards to E1, it is a pretty straightforward renewal of the revocable permit to Republic Parking for the collection of parking fees at Coquet and Waimea Canyon State Parks. The narrative in the remarks section is a little bit inaccurate based on the COVID situation, where we have visitors flocking to Coquet to enjoy wildland picnic, camping, lodging, you know, et cetera. Right now, it's pretty much empty. We have only resident traffic and a very small amount of visitor traffic, if any. And so what we're trying to do with Republic Parking for both items E1 and E2 is just get prepared for when and if we start to receive what we anticipate will be a slow attrition of visitors coming back in. And one of the other variables currently too is we'll be coming to you folks in August. We've just completed the public process for our fee increase for parking, entry, lodging, camping. And so these RPs are kind of like just band-aids to keep the relationship together should we start getting tourism back in, with the understanding that once the new fees are approved, that we're gonna have to restructure virtually all of these parking entry concession contracts. So if you don't mind, I'll just, since they're kind of bundled, E2, as you know, is a lot more complicated in regards to the metrics of how we measure success there. It's primarily to provide management so that we can continue this relationship with the county shuttle system. And Republic Parking has created the, you know, offsite reservation system, which I believe they still own, yes? Yeah, so Republic Parking still retains the intellectual property rights to the reservation system that is one of the critical components of us trying to, you know, reboot how we manage the visitors in, as you know, sensitive parks that are surrounded by, you know, local rural communities. And so in regard to E2, again, we just want to continue this relationship. The system is up and running, very, very, very low numbers, you know, at this point, primarily residents. We're seeing a slight increase of visitors, either breaking quarantine or actually after their 14-day, you know, quarantine stay. So, and again, in August, we'll be coming to you guys with a much more robust fee package for your approval now that we've gone through the public process. And then we're going to have to see what is new in regards to out-of-state visitation, the COVID pandemic, and then how we restructure the numbers in regards to the new fees and new relationships that may come out of that through a process, like through IFBs or whatever. So that pretty much sums it up. Yeah,
and we never got like that full year of data.
Yeah, and we never got a full year of data in order to really measure how this is working, because we got cut off at the knees in March in terms of patronage numbers. So at this point, we kind of need a Ouija board to figure out what the income stream is going to be moving forward for the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 months.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
With regard to Ha'ena, Independent of the income stream aspects of it, how was the shuttle and parking arrangement working with regard to control of numbers up until the point where numbers fell out of the bottom?
It was working actually really well, and I'll let Alan speak to that because this is pretty much his project.
Sure. Sam, thanks for the question. Alan Carpenter, Assistant Administrator. Actually, you know, we set a sort of an arbitrary limit of we wanted 900 maximum patrons per day, down from over 2,000 prior to implementing that new system. We averaged about 650 persons a day, including locals, over the last year. So we actually, you know, we cut it down even further than we expected. There were some growing pains, I think, trying to manage the shuttle independent, well, sort of semi-tied in with our reservation system, because people's preference was obviously to drive there in their own cars. So we had to continually adjust those numbers, the capacity for out-of-state visitors to enter by vehicle to help incentivize the shuttle. Because the shuttle, if it wasn't full, was much more economically tenuous than we were with the cars in the lot. And we weren't doing it to make money, we were doing it to help. And the last thing I'll add is that one of the nicest things about the way it all worked out is that we provided something, I think, between the shuttle and the parking vendor, we created like a dozen jobs, and almost all were people in the community. The folks working for us were like a who's who of generational families from the North Shore, which was just an amazing sort of tangible benefit and something that the community was really looking to do, right? So
thanks for that reply.
Other questions?
I have a question. Hang on. I think I've managed to join using. Are you getting an echo?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think I've joined using both my phone and the online, and I'm going to have to leave in about there. 5 minutes for a doctor's appointment. Let me just.
It's not that bad, Chris. Just
hang
go.
On. Yeah. So I had a question, Kurt, about the letters we received from another parking company. And first of all, is the gentleman who wrote those letters or someone from that company signed up for public input on this agenda item?
As I see it, he submitted written testimony, but. I don't think he signed up for verbal testimony.
Okay, so then let me just ask Kurt. You've seen those, I suppose, and do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I do. Sang, I think, can speak better, but it's a very ambitious cash assumption. I think their assumptions on how this is working might be a little naive based on our patronage and also, like I said, the relationship with like a computer reservation system. But Sam, you want to, you know, add to that a little bit?
No, I'm just going to be echoing what he's saying. It is a pretty unique situation. We are artificially limiting the number of spots available. So, you know, we went from, you know, 100 total parking spaces, and I think initially we had a holdback of 25 for locals, and now that number gets shrunk down even more as, you know, park capacity, you know, fluctuates, you know, weekends. We're kind of envisioning moving forward that weekends may be as low as, you know, having 20 available for reservations. So it's a little complex, and so I think some of the assumptions that, you know, I reached out to that vendor to get some more information and to provide some more information. You know, I think for all of us, we're kind of looking for the same thing. You know, we want to function, provide the level of service that we expect, and then to be compensated accordingly. And so, you know, we plan on having this RP for the year, and then when we go out to bid, we'll have all the specs, hopefully with enough information. And, you know, I think Stephen at that point could probably make a run at it. a little premature now to do it in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, it's very tempting based on those numbers and based on our bone-crushing deficit for operations. However, you know, as Sang said, I would rather maintain something that's working, and I don't think the numbers that were provided can be obtained, and I don't want to set us up for failure by changing horses in the middle of the stream. And the big takeaway is secure parking. We'll get a crack at the contract once we get the data and we get a year's worth of operational, you know, metrics under our belt, and it will come in at the higher fees, you know, once we get the new fees in place, which then, you know, the marketplace will then, everybody will get another shot at it. And there is some, we have to still work through some of the legal relationships with the public on the reservation system, which is a key element for the hyena model, which we hope to then, you know, duplicate and export to other state parks where we have these same kind of issues. Does that kind of answer where you were, because you're looking at the numbers, right, Chris?
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm okay with continuing this on RP for a while. I thought is August. August is not when we're, when are you thinking of letting out the concession?
You mean the rebid and everything?
Yeah, rebid this thing. Like, you know, opening it up to public competition.
Well, the first things first is we got to get the new fees in place, because it would be premature to do that on this current fee model, which is going to be obsolete once we get the approval. And then we need these performance metrics to figure out how to put it out for the marketplace. And again, like I mentioned earlier, it's really, really hard under COVID to even measure any kind of performance metrics on income until that element is restabilized, if in fact it is, right? It's a very unstable situation to put anything out to market, because we're already dealing with a plethora of lessees, as you know, that are in contractual relationships and are failing right now. And we're still trying to figure out the mechanics of, you know, reconfiguring those relationships to provide a realistic relief, you know, to concessions and tenants and whatnot. It's just a bad time to put something out to market. We just don't know, yeah.
Well, I agree, and I have no problem with continuing this RP, and for the time being, and I trust you guys to get, when we can, put it up out to public competition with all these potentially other companies that might want to go with it. I do want to caution one thing. When I hear about this reservation system, let's not lock ourselves in. I mean, somebody else could probably create a reservation system. And if that's part of the concession contract to have it, then put it in there. But this does seem like an enterprise, a business where there are a number of possible vendors. And so we need to go to a competitive process when things settle down. At the moment, it's an academic exercise because you don't have a heck of a lot of people trying to park.
Yeah, there's no more big buses going into Kokei Waimea, and we don't know when and if that's going to happen. One thing with the reservation system, and I think secure parking, I don't think they factored in their investment costs for Hyena in terms of if we scrapped this RP and then they had to go from soup to nuts on a new computerized online reservation system. I don't know if that was reflected in there. I think they were just looking at models when they used to count cars pre-COVID. That's my assumption anyway.
It has to be, but you know, talk to them. I wish they were on this meeting, you know, keep your lines of communication open with all these other companies.
Yeah, I phoned them as early as this morning at 8 to follow up. So, you know, I'm always available. So we'll definitely be in touch with them.
Okay. That's all I have. And I'm sorry, but I have to run for a while. I'll probably be about an hour before I be back.
Okay. Other questions, board members, on E1 or E2?
For me, the questions have been answered already. I had the same question that Chris had, but Kirk, you took care of it very well. Thank you.
Okay, in lieu of Kauai, I move to approve both E1 and E2 as the
second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that carries unanimously. Thank you. Going to hang on 1 second to figure out the next agenda item.
Folks, can you hear me?
Yes, Kurt.
Yeah, the Division of State Parks is requesting to withdraw E3 from the agenda. I apologize, we didn't get that information to you guys sooner. We have new information. We've reached out to the tenants. As you can see, it's a pretty poor performance record, but our property management division or section is determined we might be able to renegotiate this and clean up the arrears and the condition of the property.
Originally, what prompted this was he wanted to get the cabin because he is was.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. So what originally prompted this surrender was that he was in poor health and so didn't think he could actually manage and maintain the cabin. He subsequently recovered enough where he feels he can do so. We're still preparing a notice of default for the various issues regarding rent, insurance, and the condition of the cabin. So he'll have a certain deadline to meet his obligations, and we're gonna come up with a plan for him. If he can't meet that, instead of him just forfeiting his cabin, it will be an eviction. And he understands the consequences. So we were informed Wednesday. So that's why we really didn't have enough time to let you guys know. And we apologize for that.
So on that basis, we request to withdraw E3.
Okay.
Do we have our AG on today? Oh.
Yes. We have Cindy Young and William Weinhoff.
Okay, just that they're not, I don't see any of their faces.
They're not on video.
Okay.
Members, we're gonna skip ahead to item F1 right now. So that's the informational briefing. So we're gonna be letting the Division of Aquatic Resources people in for that. So please bear with us for 1 second. I think they may all be in. Darlene, let me know when you think they're all in.
In the meantime, I guess we can let the folks that are waiting for item D, we can let them go.
All right, I will put them, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask them to turn their video off. Sorry, D3. I think we'll put you back in the waiting room. So you'll be able to listen on YouTube. But for now, we're skipping ahead on a couple of other agenda items. So you can listen on YouTube. Okay. Brian, I think we're ready to go with item F1.
Yeah, and I see Ku'ule, aloha.
Aloha, Chair and board members. I believe we have all the participants online here, but I'm Brian Nielsen, Administrator of Division of Aquatic Resources. I'm also joined by Chris Teague, our Dar Kona biologist, Ku'ule, Kea Kealani, a Kaupulehu community member, Eric Conklin of the Nature Conservancy, Natalie Kurashima of Kamehameha Schools, and also a Kaupulehu Marine Life Advisory Council member who will be presenting to the board today. So this is an informational briefing titled Why We Wait, A-I-E Kekahi A Kapi Hekahi, a 4-year review of the Kaupulehu Marine Reserve. So this is a briefing that was requested by the board members following the Marine 30 by 30 initiative, a briefing a couple of months ago. So as Hawaii moves forward with establishing new marine management areas, it's important we also evaluate the status of existing marine managed areas. Although some marine managed areas like Kaupolehu rely on tools and techniques established centuries ago, they're applied against a much different seascape and landscape with increased population density, development, tourism, and climate change. We'll learn today about the status of aquatic resources under the current Kaupolehu Marine Reserve 4 years after designation. And with that, I'll hand it over to Chris Teague.
Aloha, everybody. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak today about the Kaupolehu community management efforts and the Tri-Waite Marine Reserve. The Division of Aquatic Resources has sought to support this community's effort both through the establishment of Kaupolehu as a fish replenishment area in 1999, as well as its change in designation to a marine reserve in 2016. Additionally, DAR has been conducting long-term monitoring within the reserve for the past 20 years. We're glad that DAR has been able to play a part in this process, and we intend to continue that support far into the future. Today, you'll hear from members of the Kaupolehu Marine Life Advisory Committee, which includes lineal descendants, landowners, and Kamehameha schools, along with partners at the Nature Conservancy, who will be sharing about the past, the present, and the future of Kaupolehu community's management goals. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kuule.
And I'm gonna share my screen for Auntie Kuule right now.
Mahalo na, good to see you.
Aloha mai.
I have Elina Keia, ya oko pakahia pau. I am honored and privileged to bring to you folks today this intro piece to our initiative, Tri-Waite. Now we kind of look at it as why we wait. I wanted to entitle this presentation, E Ai Ike Kahi E Kapi Ike Kahi. When you look at this, olelo no eau of our kupuna of kahiko, for me, it really alludes to this word, abundance, that there was lava pono, there was enough by which you could salt some, save some for later, for another time. And it also lends itself to this notion that we are well supplied and we have for now. We have some that we can eat right now. We also have some to save and savor at a later date. So, e ai ike kahi, e kapi ike kahi. For me, as a lineal descendant of this land of Kaupolehu, also adjoining Ahupua'a to its north of Pu'uawa'a and Pu'uanahulu, we bring forward this one and only photo that I know of exists of this time of my grandfather's birth here at Kahuwai, Kaupolehu. We see their house, their fishing hale as well, their lako, lava'a for their fishing supplies, their nets, their va'a. Grandpa born and raised into the Opelu fishing tradition of North Kona, Kaupolehu. And so from this time of Grandpa, Grandpa's mother, we push forward. Here are people I descend from at our little, beautiful, the Red Church of Pu'uanahulu, which is where Grandpa and his relatives of Pu'uanahulu are set in this photo, Kalamakuo Keola Church up in our homelands of Pu'uanahulu. Nevertheless, from this time for me, I greet you. I am Ku'ule Kekialani, descendant of these people you see in this photo. And as such, seated as a lineal descendant, I join and I come upon this this table. And little do I know what is unfolding and what are the things to come. But for me, it is about listening to place, taking this Ike Kupuna, this knowledge base that I believe I hold in a line of succession. And it's about this very wahi, this place that we, our eyes can peer upon right in this lovely photo, this seemingly rugged, but epic and beautiful shoreline of Kalaimano. For us to kilo, right, to go into these deep-seated observations, listen to place. What is place saying? What is the messages that this wahi this Ahupua'a, its shoreline, and the resources of this resources. What are they telling us? And so for us as the human, with this relation to place, we were propelled and prompted to move, to do something, right? There was a need, there was a kahea. These people that you see on the screen and many others listened, right? We listened to place. So this formalizing of what is the KMLAC, the Kaupulehu Marine Life Advisory Committee, made up of these folks, these agencies, developers, landowner, and us, the lineal descendants, to lend our voice on this table was and is extremely humbling. But I believe it is, for at least this committee, not a voice that is void. We absolutely bring forward our voice and ask everyone to join us, right, in this initiative. So there's this big point in time where we're going to imi ike, imi, imi. We're searching, we're searching, we're looking for answers. What can we do, right? We were, I don't want to say we were tired, but to hear kupuna, to hear our parent generation, and even us in our generation, hear quotes like, not like before, no more today, pau kapono. Kind of all of these sentiments about our resources and the things that's happening, really, right? The gist is the decline, not like before, not abundant, not like how it used to be. So this, I believe, was the root at why we said we got to do something. And so we enter into this time to look and search and listen. We go far, we go wide. What are our options? What can we do? Might we do this? Can we try that? What do we do? So right, in essence, we kind of board this va'a. We holo ike kai. We go and we look and we listen, continue to heed the calls of place. And our va'a, in essence, is going to settle. We're going to land upon what we believe was the best choice for us, this Tri-Weight Initiative, a 10-year rest period for the resources of place, these kumu vai vai, the resources that are so defining for us Kanaka in so many ways, that they need time to rest. They need time to replenish. And meanwhile, we will work extremely diligently in looking at that mua'aku, that forward. What happens then, when this 10-year rest period is over? So finally, I kind of just swing right back up to our title, e ai ike kahi, e kapi ike kahi. That is our hope. I believe that is the foundation of this Tri-Weight, so that we can return to this time where we have enough to eat right now in the present, and we also have enough for another time, a future time, for us to eat that ono. I'm going to pass it off to Eric. And before I do so, I just want to say that it was an honor and a privilege for me to sit upon this boat one day. It was the dive boat, and Eric and Kid and some of these other very skilled scientists, divers, were going to go and do their survey. And I sat upon that boat and I thought, here it is. This is the Ikena Aka Hawaii, the genius and the that intelligence of our kupuna. Here it is, this olelo no eau, a alepau ka ike I ka halau ho okahi. Not all knowledge is sought in one school, in one halau. And so, again, to honor the many different halau or schools of learning, of thought, of ike. And that's what I believe we continue on in our walk in our Tri-Weight, Y-Weight initiative. And I just mahalo you all. And eia no, Eric, mahalo piha.
Hello.
Thank you very much, Auntie Kuule. And let me get my screen shared. And can you all see that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Eric Conklin with the Nature Conservancy. I will never be able to match the eloquence or power of Kuule, so I won't try. I will just say that it has been our distinct and humble privilege to play a small part in contributing to this community's efforts to manage their place. What I'm going to be talking about today is the scientific monitoring that's gone behind informing the efforts of the Kaupalehu community. The Conservancy has had the pleasure of working with the community for over the last decade. The projects that we have worked together on have evolved over the years as seen on this timeline here, and I'll get the videos out of the way. And it started off with, you know, community fish monitoring, just jumping in the water with members of the community to see what's there, creel surveys and manini studies to get a little bit more sort of hard data on the what's happening in the place to help inform strategies on what might work to restore, evolving into conservation action planning. So just a process to help the community articulate their vision for what they want to see and what is important to them and what the most effective strategies to achieve that vision are. That led to the establishment of the Marine Reserve in 2016. And then since then, we've also been working with the community on Fish Path, which Natalie will talk a little bit more about, but a process to try to help develop the sustainable fisheries management plan so that at the end of that tri-weight period, there can be long-term sustainable harvest from that place. But the focus of today's presentation, from my portion of today's presentation, will really just be about the scientific monitoring that TNC has been able to help contribute to this suite of efforts. And what we've done is, well, so this is the area that we're talking about. So the Ka'opalehu Marine Reserve, which is nested within the Ka'opalehu FRA and the west coast of Big Island, established in 2016, 3.5 miles of coastline, no harvest for 10 years. The monitoring that we did started off with just a small set of monitoring points, which are these dots here within this shaded area, which is the which is what would become the Marine Reserve. And each of these points represents an area where our team jumped in the water and used a standard set of monitoring methods to collect data on the fish and benthic bottom communities in those areas. That was 2009. 2010, we expanded, 11, we expanded, 12, we expanded, 13, 14, 15. You get the idea. We put a lot of time into monitoring. This 2015 figure shows the cumulative number of surveys we had done prior to the establishment of tri-weight. So this is the baseline against which we can measure the effectiveness or the changes that happen throughout the entire area, inside and outside of the reserve, in response to the implementation of the rest area. We jumped back in the water in 2016, just a month and a half after the implementation of the rest area. And then again in 2018, 2 years after the implementation of that rest period. And the 2018 surveys are what I was gonna share results with you today from. So this map now just shows the suite of 182 sites we surveyed in 2018 and compared against the prior surveys. We have also collected data in 2019, but due to some staffing changes, we're a little behind in getting that data analyzed. And then we ran into COVID, so we haven't had a chance to really share those results back with the community and discuss the appropriate analysis and interpretation of those data yet. So I'm going to constrain today's conversation or presentation to those data that we have from 2018. So moving on to just a subset of the results from those 2018 surveys. So on this panel of graphs here on the left, on the vertical axis is fish biomass, or the mean number of just the weight of fish seen on each of the transects we conducted, both inside in the solid line and outside in the dashed line, the tri-weight area, the marine reserve. And we're only 2 years in, so we didn't expect to see huge changes, but what you can see is from where things started out in 2016, immediately after the implementation of the tri-weight period, the biomass of all fishes has increased both inside and outside, and increased more inside than outside. If we look at just resource fish, which are the subset of fish that are harvested by fishers, we can see that same pattern with an even bigger increase and bigger separation between inside and outside. And if we look at prime spawners, which are the largest individuals of the resource fish, so those largest individuals that produce the most eggs, that are the most important for creating the next generation and the generation after that, we see an even bigger increase. Again, increases inside and outside, but a bigger increase outside or inside the rest area compared to outside of the rest area. So that's, again, only 2 years in. We were really excited to already start to see those kinds of changes, which we fully expected to take several years to start to manifest. if we dig into the data a little bit more and look at just as some of the families of fishes that were of particular interest to members of the community, we can see some even more dramatic increases. 62% increase in targeted or harvested wrasses inside compared to a 3% increase outside. 30% increase in parrotfish compared to 3% outside. 46% increase in surgeon fish compared to 21% outside. So really exciting results of the reef community, the fish assemblage, responding very quickly and positively to the implementation of the rest period. And then just one last piece of data to share with you. This figure here on the y-axis again is fish biomass. Now on the horizontal axis, these green dots are inside the reserve, moving into the graph is moving from the middle of the reserve in towards the northern boundary of the reserve. The vertical line in the middle of the figure is the northern boundary of the reserve. And then these red dots show the changes in fish biomass as you move away from the reserve boundary. And what we're seeing here is that, sure enough, inside the reserve, biomass is higher than in general outside the reserve. And outside, biomass is higher right along that boundary than it is the farther away you move from the reserve. So we think this is promising evidence that not only is biomass higher inside, but it is already starting to spill over into adjacent areas and benefit those adjacent areas and help restore the fish populations in the right along that boundary. These are all the data that we've been collecting specific to Ka'opalehu, but we also have a really great opportunity with this fantastic data set that DAR has been collecting for over 20 years for the entire West Hawaii region. Now, the power of the DAR monitoring is really about looking at regional trends and the effectiveness of the state's management efforts along the entire coastline of West Hawaii. But there is great insight to be gained by looking at the one site that DAR has been doing long-term monitoring at within the reserve and how that has been changing over a longer time period than our monitoring surveys have been able to encompass. So, and then these figures here show the results of those monitoring surveys, and you can see that if that if you go back into the early 2000s, into the 2010, 11, 12, you see these substantial declines in fish biomass over that period that the community was really coming together and organizing and saying, yeah, things aren't what they used to look like. And sure enough, the data that DAR has collected from this one site is very much consistent with that. And then with the implementation of the rest period in the red line, you can see a big increase in the biomass of fishes. All fishes, targeted fishes, again, those ones that are most targeted by fishermen, shows that exact same pattern. If we look at fishes that aren't generally harvested, we don't see that same kind of pattern. Some declines initially, but not nearly that clear pattern of decline and then recovery following the implementation of the rest period, which I think is pretty good evidence that it was harvesting pressure that was depressing the stocks of those targeted fish, and resting from that pressure is allowing those fish to start to recover. So just a quick summary of what I've been talking about: resource biomass is increased inside the reserve, prized species are much higher inside the reserve than they were before, and increasing at rates greater than outside the reserve. That spatial analysis we did show that there's evidence of spillover into adjacent areas. And a reminder that this is only 2 years into a 10-year rest period. So these are just the beginning of changes that we expect to see to continue to grow into the future. And then my last slide, our next steps are completing that analysis with the community of the 2019 data, continuing our regular monitoring to build that time series and document those changes over time. Feed that data into development of sustainable fisheries management plan that Natalie will talk a little bit more about, and use the information to support other conservation action plan strategies. And to talk more about the future of the community's efforts in that area, I will hand the screen over to Dr. Natalie Kirshen.
Aloha mai kakou. My name is Natalie Kurashima. I'm born and raised in Waipio on Oahu and live in Kona now. I'm proud to call North Kona my kula iwi, place where my ancestors are buried.
I've had the privilege of working with the Kupulahu community for 9 years now, and for the last 4 years been the Kamehameha School seat on the Kupulahu Marine Life Advisory Committee, the KMLAC. Can you guys see my screen okay?
Okay. Yes.
Mahalo. Let me get my notes up. So in this presentation, I'm going to talk about some of the projects that the KMLAC has been working on since the rest period. And I really want to emphasize that during this rest period, we are extremely active and that all of our projects are guided by our 2015 Conservation Action Plan goals. And you can see here, we have about 10 different topic areas with the overall focus to restore and steward the coastal and nearshore natural and cultural resources of Ko'upulahu. So in this presentation, I'm just going to highlight a few of these projects. So the first one, planning for sustainable fisheries management. In order to malama the marine food resources of Ko'upulahu, we have begun to develop a comprehensive sustainable fisheries management plan with community members, DAR staff, NGOs, fishers, and researchers. And the overall goal here, like Auntie Ku'ule was talking about, is to ensure that Ko'upulahu's marine resources are healthy and at a level for perpetual harvesting by families of this area, and that our management is grounded in the traditions and values of this place. So the process actually began with an archaeological study to determine the marine resources consumed through time by looking at traditional and historical middens across the Ahupua'a. And then these results focused our initial planning on surgeon fish using an innovative fisheries tool called FishPath that Eric mentioned. We're currently expanding our planning process to all reef fishes beyond surgeon fish. And this is to develop a suite of management actions, monitoring methods, and resource assessment protocols to effectively manage the return of harvest in 2026 sustainably when the rest area opens. And so the FishPath tool allows us to test if a management action will have the intended effect based upon the life history information of each of the species that we're looking at. And a comprehensive management plan will be developed and will be shared with DAR and stakeholders, including fishermen, for feedback and further refinement. And so this is all in anticipation for the 2026 reopening where we will have sound management that ensures sustainable harvesting. And so part of that process, we're always having new research happening at Ko'upulahu, and all this research will be then fed into inform these management plans for sustainable harvesting. So we continue to work with the next generation of Kanaka Oyibi and Kama'aina researchers to forward our goals that we set out in the CAP. And so I'm just gonna quickly highlight three projects here. For the last 10 years, Namako Onauna has conducted intertidal monitoring seasonally at Ko'upulahu, and they're working to determine productivity and carrying capacity of Opihi and intertidal communities at Kalaimanoa to inform our sustainable harvesting. Kaikia Nakachi has been developing innovative, non-invasive methods to study Manoa and traditional Kahu Manoa practices. One goal of his is to estimate population size for Kalaimanoa so that we can understand how these Manoa are using the area and if they're impacting other marine life. And then finally, Ku'i Kili'ipuleole is starting her ankyline pool research at Ko'upulahu and other areas in North Kona so that we can understand sustainable harvest of opai ula from restoration. And this directly informs the restoration of our opelu ko'a, as opai ula is a critical palu or bait resource in Ke Kaha Waiole's ko'a practice. We continue to do our own research as well at the KMLAC. So it kapi ke kahi, as Auntie Ku'ule said. And pa'akai is not just a preservative of food, it is a preservative of ancestral practice for the ohana of Ke Kaha. Auntie Lei Leitner has led the KMLAC efforts in the restoration of knowledge, practice, and the physical restoration, the planning of physical restoration for our local pa'akai site. She continues to cultivate and harvest pa'akai as her kupuna did, and now with local and educational programs. And this year, it's exciting, we started to experiment with imu puna, or the imu process, to create cement mortar from coral, which is a necessary first step in the restoration of our local pa'akai at Kalaimanoa. And what strings this all together is mo'olelo and ka'ao. So Auntie Hannah, who was supposed to join us today, but unfortunately couldn't, she often talks about the importance of not only repeating mo'olelo or ka'ao of the past, but focusing on understanding and embodying the sensibilities of that mo'olalo in our roles and decisions that we make in stewardship of Aina today. And so we also focus on creating new mo'olalo to share and apply to our stewardship practices practically. And a part of our mo'olalo is enforcement. So KMLAC has had a long-standing relationship and good communication with DoCare. And Uncle John Kahiapo is a regular attendee at our meetings. DoCare has a really solid response rate to our needs. And since 2016, you can see here, we've had only 9 incidents of illegal fishing at Ku'upulahu. And the KMLAC has also completed Makai Watch trainings so that we can be informed partners in our communication with them. And part of preventing these incidents is really outreach and education to local fishers. We've hosted 2 invasive fish capture events at Kalaimanol in 2018 with DAR permission through a special activities permit. We hosted a Roy Roundup at Kalaimanol. At this event, we collaborated with scientists from UH Hilo to conduct cicataran morphology research, but really the most important outcome was to talk story face-to-face with the fishers of Kona about why we wait. And in informal interviews that we did with each of the divers, they all noted their skepticism of the rest area, but after diving, after their diving experience at Ku'upulahu, they all expressed support for Tri-Wait and they could really see their replenishment for themselves. We are also currently developing Fisher Hui to increase the involvement of local fishermen in our management planning going forward. And this is really to get not just the KMLAC, but it's beyond us. It's the entire community of Kona to understand why we wait, why we salt some, why we eat some, and why we still have some for our mo'opuna to eat in the future. So pipi holoka'au, mahalo. So that's all we have for today.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are doing wonderful work, and it's really rewarding to see this progress over all the many years, and to, you know, for the land board to have our own history in the process for you to get these rules established. We are very, very interested in the progress here, and obviously, it has relevance to other proposals that come before us. And so it's very, very encouraging to see those results here. And we are very much appreciative of all of your work on this. Board members, we have a very knowledgeable crowd with us. What questions do you have on this topic?
I'll let Kaivi go first.
Kaivi.
Oh, okay. I'm aloha, and thank you for that presentation. That was very informative. I'm guessing that the trajectory or the lines that the increase of fish biomass, the trajectory that it's on, the hope is that it continues on that track, and I'm sure it will. My question is, how are you guys tracking other threats other than direct threats like fishermen in the area or divers in the area? I'm talking about more like environmental threats like climate change and sea level rise.
I can take a first crack at answering that and see if others want to jump in. We do have, through the biological monitoring information, we do have like information on say the 2015 coral bleaching event and the recovery of the reef from that event. We are, because of the way we sample, we actually have a pretty good data set that we can then query for spatial effects associated with other things. And so we have in the past and are continuing to look at, say, the impacts of water quality, nutrient inputs, and those sorts of things. And then using that same data set to say, do we see associations of, you know, diminished reef condition in areas where you have greater nutrient inputs? If so, what are the things we can do to address those inputs? So we are we are using the information that we have available and trying to identify additional threats and collect that additional information compared to what we've got, so that we are looking comprehensively at what's going on there and making sure that the management strategies address all of the different things affecting that area as best as possible. I'll stop there and allow anyone else to add context to that if they'd like.
Yes, similar to that, we collect a lot of data on coral bleaching and coral health via our surveys at our those same 25 coastwide sites that we have in West Hawaii. So we do benthic surveys where we're taking photographs of the seafloor to assess coral health and coral bleaching effects, and trying to, again, compare those metrics of habitat quality to fish biomass, fish abundance, et cetera.
Is there any data to substantiate that line would be affected by these threats, or are we still needing to cull that data and gather?
I think as Eric said in his presentation, we are still 2 years into this sort of 10-year tri-way period, so I think it does take a little bit longer to really see the full effect of these trends. And I think looking at this sort of in multiple different ways, looking at the historical vantage from the DAR data as well as the TNC data that's more heavily focused right in the Kopolehu area, and seeing kind of a broader look at the general region there is important for that.
Okay, other questions?
Well, I think Natalie was going to say something too.
Oh, sorry, Natalie.
I was just going to add that we did have a Coastal Seas research team looking at nutrient inputs from in various scenarios under climate change as well, which we many of us were part of that research team, so we can utilize that data as well.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Please. I just wanted to, and I don't know that it's directly, maybe it's a little indirectly related to the question, but right, we do know of the heavy development that's in the area of Kaupulehu. So working very closely with the landowner, Kamehameha Schools, in looking at ways that we could, I mean, not just voice concerns, but what are the things that we can do to look at, because of the development and all of the things that kind of come with that, what are we doing to ensure or at least monitor, right, things like water quality monitoring. That's something that I do know there's a long-standing record of water quality testing that's been done, I believe, to present as well. But also that we also have a Kaupulehu Foundation. And as a board member on that foundation, we're able to support, financially support, funding-wise, to various entities, two of which are directly related in our CAP. So we fund or support the Namaka Onauna group in their surveys particular to Kaupulehu, and then we also lend support to the Greater KMLAC in looking at some of our action plans, and moving them forward as well. So yes, eyes on many things, many, many things, that it's just multifaceted, like he'e with many ave, many things for us to champion and maka'ala on.
Mahalo.
Yeah, maika'i. Mahalo anui a oko apo for this update. It's great to get the scoops on the details of these things. We know that we hope for the best when these were established, and we're kind of BLNR and DLNR kind of proud to have been played a part in setting this stage for what we see. And what we've seen in just a few years of the start of the 10 years is so promising. So mahalo again. Chris, though, I was looking at what Eric showed of the DAR monitoring of West Hawaii sites, and I agree that there was this downward slope, and then after the establishment, there was this up peak, But I also noticed that there was a pretty substantial drop at the very end of the graph. What do you, how do you explain that, and what do you think is going on there?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's something I noticed as well, starting to parse through our data. I really think that a lot of that is driven by the fact that this is a single site within the greater West Hawaii context. So our data set is more focused, as Eric said, on the entirety of West Hawaii. And what that means, unfortunately, is that we only have one specific site that's within the Kaupolehu location, within the reserve overall. So that particular spot has been hit by some habitat degradation. I wasn't here prior to see what this looked like a few years ago, but from what I hear, it has turned more from a finger coral rich area to sort of a coral rubble spot, specifically where our surveys are located. We do additional surveys where we do a free roam around the site at the end of the transects themselves. And that kind of gives us an idea of the fish populations in the general area. And just doing that swim around, it's clear that the area surrounding that is still looking very healthy. There's a lot of healthy coral and more fish diversity and abundance in the surrounding areas. But just where our transects themselves are located, unfortunately, kind of shifted in its habitat type. So I think that's where the TNC data really come in, to really look at the area overall in a sort of more detailed look. And yeah, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Mahalo for that. And for that explanation makes a lot of sense. I was thinking about the Enkeline pools and the study therein, and certainly that goes hand in hand with issues of sea level rise and the like. It'll be fascinating to see in the years to come the changes in the configuration of those Enkeline pools, maybe the merging of some of them with the ocean and the creation of others as groundwater and sea level rise higher. So we'll all be watching closely.
Jimmy.
Yes, I'd like to say mahalo to all of you for all your hard work and passion that you have for this. This is very important. I think we can see some of this right now happening with this COVID-19, with not the tourists or people engaging in our resources of it coming back, you know, in just such a 2.5-3 months. So your project, moving forward 2 years, imagine what 10 years would look like. It'll be wonderful. We do need to wait and take our time, you know, so our resources can come back again to replenishment for our people of Hawaii. Thank you. And Kule, please give my aloha to your daddy and your sister Dee.
Other questions or comments, board members?
We're just very proud of you.
Yeah.
Mahalo for this.
Yeah, we are.
It's really
are.
Wonderful to see you all. And personally, I'm looking forward to going and checking out firsthand how it looks.
Beautiful job.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Mahalo. Thank you. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Have a nice
evening.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Okay,
that was nice.
That was very nice.
Very nice. Very well done.
Anyone need a break?
If not,
we're going to continue to skip ahead until we have a full house again. So I'm going to go to the K and M items next. K is, should be Trevor. Okay. So we'll do K1, and then after that we'll do the M items, the DOT items. So Trevor, you are on mute and we don't have your video. If you have video available.
Good morning, Chair. I believe you need to allow my video or the secretary.
Okay. Now try.
Good morning, Board, Chair, Trevor Fitzpatrick, Staff Planner with the Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. So I'm here to present item K1, which is the third time extension request by Maxson and Shaw for the completion of their single family residence in Hyena, Hanalei, Kauai. On September 11th, 2015, the board granted CDUP KA3744 for the Maxson Shaw single family residence subject to 26 conditions, excuse me. On September 19th, 2018, the chair granted an initial time extension for the construction of the single family residence to be completed by September 11th, 2019. This first time extension request was due to work delays sort of caused by the initial contractor who was then replaced. And then on September 27th, 2019, the board approved a second time extension request to complete the single family due to the historical floods of April 2018, as well as the floods that are associated with or were associated with Hurricane Lane in August of 2018. That new completion date was for the single family residence was June 30, 2020. On May 20th of this year, we received a request from Mr. Hong, who is the consultant for Maxson and Shaw, for a third time extension request. This is related to the global pandemic of COVID-19 and the shutdown and lockdown orders that have been in place. We're recommending approval of this third time extension request. They've requested for approximately a year, so the new completion date would be, I believe, June 20th of 2021. One thing we would like to remind the applicants and landowners of is condition 12 of the permit, CDUP CA 3744, and that is, you know, should historic mains such as artifacts, burials, or concentration of charcoal be encountered during construction activities, they need to cease all construction and contact SHPDE. The landowners and their agent have indicated that they still need to install their individual wastewater system. We note that a archaeological inventory survey was done in the area of the proposed individual wastewater system, and that came back negative, but due to the fact that burial remains have been found in close proximity to this property, we want them to be aware of this condition of the permit. I will turn it over to the applicants to answer any or provide any feedback, and I'm here to answer any questions that the board may have.
Okay, questions, board members?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
What's the square footage of this home that's being built?
Mr. Maxson, you are on mute, so. Okay, there you go.
Is Walton Hong on as well, or just myself?
I think it's just you. Oh, wait, now he's on. Hang on a second.
Board Member Gomes, according to the staff report for the CDUP, the residence was supposed to be 3,492 square feet.
Okay. I was just curious. I mean, I know they had that flood in Kauai on, but couple of years ago, so I can understand the extension. They within a year, you think to be completed?
Yes.
For the CDUP, the residence was supposed to be 3,409.
While we're waiting for the second person to come on, the lockdown, I suppose, Kauai's mayor closed down all construction work as well, because on Oahu, the lockdown did not, it excluded construction as essential, as an essential activity.
On Kauai, construction that was deemed essential was allowed, but construction like ours, which single family residence, that was all completely shut down.
Thank you for that clarification. I just note that I saw lots of construction of single family residences on Oahu, but it's good to know that that on Kauai the situation was different.
It was different. It seems to
that
me
being
that
the case, yeah, I mean the delays in construction are there's just nothing you can do about it.
There isn't. We really appreciate the accommodation.
Yes, please.
All right. I see. I guess it's Mr. Hong is on the line. Did you have anything to add?
I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
We can.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a dinosaur when it comes to computers and internet.
Break it up. Speak up or do something. I'm really very sorry.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank the board for this opportunity to appear before you. I'd like to just make a few comments, if I may. First of all, the applicants are not trying to delay this project in any way. They acquired this property in the late 90s. Saving money to build on this for the retirement. And all of these delays, much to their concern, has resulted in additional costs. So their motivation is to get this project completed as soon as possible. COVID-19 and the pandemic, unfortunately, in addition to the direct effects that everyone is aware of, shutting down of construction for non-essential workers, et cetera, also included indirect effects. The applicants ordered a lot of their building materials through US suppliers. And a lot of these items were being manufactured in Asia. Well, when the virus started hitting, the production in Asia just took a downturn. Production slowed down, shipping were delays. So they're having trouble even to this very date of getting some of the materials that were ordered months ago shipped into Kauai to finish the work. Then once the stay-at-home order was lifted, it's not to say, okay, it's lifted today and now everybody can go back to work and we're all gonna rush back to the Maxson residence to finish their work. The different trades are involved that have to be coordinated. And of course, these subcontractors have a lot of other jobs and they're trying to coordinate with their other tradesmen. All of these have resulted in unfortunate delays that's beyond our control. I guess you can say it's almost like the perfect storm, the floods, COVID, the delays. And for that reason, we do need an extension. The house is substantially completed. I mean, we've got most of the work done. Insofar as most of the work is now inside of the house, with the exception of the wastewater, and we do acknowledge Mr. Fitzpatrick's comments about when we start excavating or digging for the septic system, that we will have to be cognizant, and we accept that, of any archaeological finds. Should we uncover any remains or anything, we will abide by the rules of the historic preservation that stop work, notify them, and take whatever steps that are necessary to resolve those issues. Other than that, I have nothing really else to say except to ask for your indulgence and support of this additional extension. so we can finish up the house without violating any of your rules and regulations.
Thank you for that clarification. We did hear a lot about that, but your addition of the indirect effects of shipping from Asia and et cetera, and coordination of activities once the lockdown is lifted, all of that makes perfect sense. I hope that you guys are able to batten down what you do have as Hurricane Douglas homes in on the archipelago.
Oh, don't I don't even want to think about that.
I hear you. There's a brand new house right across the street from my house, and I'm worried about them. They have all kinds of construction material lying around, and their house is mostly complete, like yours sounds like it is, and I wonder what they're going to be doing in the next 2 days to get everything secure.
Yeah, well, I guess the only blessing we have is this house started after Hurricane Iniki, so we do have hurricane straps. Hopefully that'll help.
Okay, any other questions, board members? Right, hearing none.
In lieu of Kauai, I move to approve.
All right, is there a second? I saw Jimmy, but I heard Kaivi.
Second.
All right, Jimmy seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously, noting that is at the moment Gon, Case, Yoon, Char, and Gomes. Thank you all.
Best of luck to you folks.
Mahalo.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to go to the M items now. Arlene, I don't see the DOT airports. Let's do M10 right now. Olivia? Okay, M10, Olivia Pham.
I don't see her yet, or hear her.
I see her name, so she's looking in here.
Okay, she's coming online.
There you Hello? Go. I think you're on now, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, don't see you yet, though.
Oh, no, I don't have a camera, but good morning. My name is Olivia Pham. I'm a property manager with DOT Harbors, here to answer any questions about item M10, which is the amend a prior board action.
Okay, questions, board members? So this is a correction. Is that right?
Yes. We are restating the perpetual non-exclusive easement.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. Yeah, if it's just a tax map key correction, then I move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Sorry.
We'll give that to Vernon Char for a second. All in favor, aye. Say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Okay, that passes unanimously. Gon, Case, Yoon, Char, and Gomes. Thank you, Olivia.
Harbors also has item M7 through 9 as well.
Okay, go ahead. 7 through 9. Okay, got it. Go ahead.
So I'll answer any questions if the board has any regarding those items.
Okay, board members, any questions on M7, 8, or 9? Those are month-to-month revocable permits for Harbors. Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve those two items?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye. That's unanimous with those five. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to M1 now. Mr. Lai. Lai. Here we go. Wait, ask to unmute. Can you unmute your phone?
There you go.
Okay, you have items M1 through 6.
Good morning.
These are board members. Revocable permits. Let me ask board members, do you have any questions on M1 through M6? Airports revocable permits. Mr. Char, and you're going to need to unmute.
Okay.
There you go.
The only consideration is that on M4, I need to recuse myself. The other items I'm fine on.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. If not, somebody want to make a motion to approve M1 through 6 as submitted?
Move to M1 through 6.
Second.
Okay. All right. Noting Mr. Char's recusal on M4. Otherwise, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, those pass. Thank you very much, DOT Airports. And then we have M11. Darlene, do we have somebody for M11?
Farmington Highway replacement of bridge. Oh, cool.
He didn't respond to the invitation.
Okay, does anyone have questions on M11?
Move to defer. No, just voting.
If no questions, do we have a motion to approve M11 as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
That just leaves the.
Yeah, actually, we're going to go. Sorry.
We have J, boating recreation.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're actually going to go back to E3. We're not going to withdraw it. So I need to get state parks back in here.
I'm going to withdraw. You're muted, Kurt.
Hello, thank you. I'm so sorry, my apologies. While we were doing the pitch for the other submittals, the tenant called our other property management staff and upon review of everything, got cold feet and then asked us to continue with the forfeiture of the lease. So my apologies. So thanks for this second opportunity to chat with you guys.
All right, are there any questions, board members, on this at E3? All right, if not, is there a motion to approve E3 as submitted?
This is
so moved and submitted.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, that passes.
Hey, mahalo, you guys, really appreciate the second helping. Be safe. Have a good weekend.
Same to you.
Okay. I'd like to call a short break. The items. Okay, we are back in the board meeting. We are on item J2. The board just went into executive session and we are back in the regular board meeting to act on J2. And Darlene, I know we had some written testimony on this. Is there anyone who is testifying live on this matter?
Nobody signed up to speak.
Okay.
Early.
All right. Board members, Any further discussion on J2? If not, does somebody want to make a motion on J2?
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve J2 as submitted with one amendment, and that is that the Attorney General's office shall use due diligence in investigating whether other parties can be held responsible for some of the costs and losses incurred by the state in this matter, and decide whether to pursue those in litigation or otherwise.
Okay, is there a second to that motion? Vernon, you're on mute.
I second the motion.
Okay, am I on? Any discussion, yes. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion as amended, say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous with 6 voting. And that brings us to the end of our agenda. Thank you all very, very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Stay safe this weekend. Make sure everybody's prepared to keep yourselves and your family safe. And hope we all in Hawaii survive the storm as best as possible. Okay, take care. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.